Torah Way, Northwest London, Thursday the 24th of September, Chofei Tishri, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, says here topical theme. Noach le'odom shaloi nivro.
The 24th of October.
What did I say? It's the
24th of September.
It does say 24th of September on the sheet, but today is the 24th of October. Thank you for the correction.
We're sitting here for a month waiting.
So first of all, I have to begin with apologies for the last two occasions where I didn't make it. Circumstances beyond my control. That's first of all, but it's nice to be back. Thank you. And secondly, or maybe it should have been first, to a warm gruss from Dudi, whom I saw on Sunday. That's someone who was first admitted. And Kadarika Bakodesh, still busy behind the scenes. And we meet Hashem, we look forward to the time when he's back in front of the scenes with the Refuah Shleima. So, Parashas Bereishis suddenly come round already, and without any question, it would seem the climax of Briyas HaOlam is day six. Five days, Kodesh Baruch Hu prepares the ground, as it were, prepares the universe for mankind, and the climax is day six, when Kodesh Baruch Hu finally unveils the pinnacle of it all, which is mankind. And so, you see, until you get to the Gemara in Erevin, Dafyud Gimel Amud Beis. Gemara in Erevin, a very startling Gemara. Tanabonam, Shtei Shonam Emechzon Nathluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. For 2.5 years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel debated. Halala Omrim Noach Lo Adam Shlo Nivra Yosef Mishanivra. One, the group said, better had mankind not been created, rather than been created. The other said reverse. No, better and more advantageous for him to have been created rather than not created. Interesting Rashi. They made a calculation, they concluded, quite depressing, better had mankind not been created rather than been created. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now that mankind's been created, Yafash Fesh Mamaisov, let him analyze his actions or discern his actions. Yafash Fesh Mamaisov, a similar notion. Some say that the conclusion was Yafash Fesh Mamaisov. But a very startling Gemara, a very startling Gemara indeed. We get all excited when it comes to Priya Sa'ilam and the climax of it all. Then he gets the Gemara in Chulin, and the conclusion is better had we not been created. So, this is our topic for today. First of all, let's have a look at what it means in the conclusion, Yafashmesh myself, excuse me, or Yamashmesh myself. So Rashi says, Yafashmesh myself, that expression, they both mean expressions of feeling out or discerning. Yafashmesh myself, Sha'achshav Shekvar, Sha'asakvar. Rashi says, Yafashmesh myself means a reference to the actions we have done previously. Very topical. A person should look at his actions that previously been done and do tshuva for that which has been incorrect. Yimashmesh b'maisov, the alternative lashon, yimashmesh b'maisov. This seems to be more futuristic. Kagon in bar mitzvah liyado. Thank you. In bar mitzvah liyado, yachshav have some mitzvah k'neged tzvara. If an opportunity comes your way going forward, excuse me. So analyze, hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchora, v'lo yaniach la'asos mishvala hefsed. It says, Rashi, your fashfesh is the past, your mashmesh is the future. As we encounter actions going forward, calculate, is it worth losing out on this mitzvah for the tzchara that might come our way? And therefore, a person should think about his actions going forward. Now, the Mesillat Yesharim famously says, in Perek Gimel, that the difference between your fashfesh and your mashmesh is as follows. That one is talking about, the first one is talking about the overall direction of life. And the second one is talking about the specific actions once we have taken a direction. So even once we've taken a direction, we've still got to analyze our actions to see whether our actions are pure or to see whether our actions are adulterated in some respects. So those are the two pshatim in terms of, or two pshatim in terms of Yimashmesh, Yifashvesh, and Yimashmesh. Let's have a look at what Tosfos says over here. Tosfos asks a kasha from the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. Gemara in Avodah Zorah, which is on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Gemara says, again a very unusual Gemara, Gemara says that we owe a thank you to the dar that sinned at the eagle. Why so? Because had they not sinned at the eagle, we would never have been born. We would never have been born. Right? Well, it says Rashi, so it says Rashi over there, that had they sinned at the eagle, we would never have been born, because they would have lived like Malachim. They wouldn't have procreated, and we would never have come into existence. Therefore, says the Gemara, we owe them a thank you for the fact that they sinned, because had they not sinned, we would never have come into existence. So Tosfos asks the kasha, one second. Our Gemara concludes, better had we not come into existence. So the Chora, and that Gemara suggests, actually we owe them a thank you for the fact that we have come into existence. So there seems to be a stir in the two Gemaras. So Tosfos brings two answers. The first answer is that Tosfos says, if you look at the conclusion of the Gemara over there, quite a long discussion in the Gemara over there, what does it actually mean? It means we know procreation, what does it mean? The Gemara concludes that and reframes its phraseology. Initially, the Gemara says, Lo tema, ilu, anu lo bonu lo'ilam, elo kamish lo bonu lo'ilam. It doesn't mean we would not have been born. There's no question that procreation would have continued, but everyone would have lived forever. And can you imagine living in a generation where the Dor Deus still existed? We would have been insignificant, utterly insignificant. And therefore, even though it may well be true that our Gemara's conclusion is that overall, on balance, better had we not been created. However, the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah, there's no question we would have been created, but our lives would have been insignificant, living in the shadow of these great men. So now that we have been created, at least our lives have some significance, given the fact that they sinned and they died. So we thank them for the fact that they sinned, therefore they died, they passed on, and at least we can create some significance in our lives without being overwhelmed by their presence. So Rashi says, "Kafisha hein chayin olam." We would have been utterly insignificant. That's Tosfos' first teretz over there. So there, Tosfos' second teretz, and actually Tosfos in Avodah Zorah here have a slightly different nuance in the teretz. Over here, in Erevin, Tosfos says, actually it depends when the Gemara says over here, Noyach lo le'odom shelo nivra. Better have we not been created, it depends what type of person we are talking about. We're talking about the average human being. Here it's talking about the average human being. It seems where life is not always what it's supposed to be and is mediocre. Avol tzaddik ashra v'ashrei dora. However, the person becomes a tzaddik, happy are they and happy is the generation that gave birth to them. So Tosfos says, in fact, the Gemara, even if we take that Gemara in Avodah Zorah literally, that we would not have been created, and we thank them for our creation. That's talking about those who reach the level of tzaddik. They thank them for creation. But those who don't reach that level, whose lives are unsuccessful or mediocre at best, so then that's what our Gemara is talking about. Better had we not come into existence. But Tosfos in Avodah Zorah says it a little bit differently. He says, "Noach lo le'adam haynu b'tchilus le'dasa." That means the beginning of a person's life. Doesn't know what the end game will be. Therefore, life is a risky business. Better not begin the enterprise. But if a person's a tzaddik and achieves, then there's no question about it. So, Tosfos over here talks about different types of people. Tosfos over there talks about different stages of life. By the way, anybody listening on this live, please do continue to listen, because the conclusion does get much more optimistic. Don't give up at this stage. But the question is, and it's a very, very important question, is where does this debate emerge from? And there's a really critical question over here. which actually the Mashal asks in Maccas, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, de facto it's got to be good. Where does this debate emerge from? Where's the beginnings of this debate? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in Titin Emes Yaakov, observes that actually with the specific creation of mankind, as do other Mefarshim, does not say Vayar Hashem Ki Tov. For the specific creation. At the end of Bria's Olam, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so everything was Tov Ma'od. And some Mefarshim point out that Ma'od is the same osios as Odom, right? Mem Aleph Dalet. But actually, it does not say specifically. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a whole analysis of it as to why it does not say it specifically. And several answers, and in there, within one of those answers, he suggests that maybe because the Torah, if one can say so, appears to be a bit ambivalent about the creation of mankind, that gave rise to this particular debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Because the Torah itself doesn't give it the stamp, the ultimate hakshah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Tov Ma'od. And therefore, that is what gives rise to this particular debate. By the way, I will say that I've never seen anywhere, I'm happy to hear, anyone who explains why the debate raged for 2.5 years. Anybody who knows a pshat and why it took place, I've looked around, I haven't seen anyone who explains why it was daf, what's the significance of 2.5 years. Okay. In fact, the Rav Kamenetsky says, very interesting, that the Loshon Tov, Ki Loshon Ki Tov, Nofel Rak Amasha Ki Mula'at. The Loshon Tov is only applied to that which exists forever. Olachain. Adam Shu Baal Bechira. Adam is a Baal Bechira. And therefore, B'yado Gam Lahachre Beskiyumo, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, Lachain Lo Nichtav Achav Riyasa Ki Tov. Tov is a stamp which is given for something that's existence is guaranteed. And because Adam has the capacity both to build or God forbid to destroy or to self-destroy, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not say with Adam Ki Tov. I often say that the Loshon Tov does not mean good. It's a bit of a facile translation. Loshon Tov really means that it was created to fulfill its God-designated purpose with all that was required of it. When you wish somebody Mazel Tov, it doesn't mean congratulations. It means that this particular occasion should be so auspicious that it should fulfill its God-designated purpose. I once said that to a young couple at their engagement. For some reason, we weren't invited to the wedding. Now, let's have a look at the Marashah. The Marashah in Erevin says that it's a comment in the Marashah at the end of the second paragraph of Maccas, at least in the, you were talking before about different editions, at least in the classic edition, it says at the end of the second paragraph of Maccas. It's actually not the end of the second paragraph of Maccas. It's actually the end of the third paragraph of Maccas. At the beginning of the whole discussion over there about capturing all the mitzvahs, powering down the mitzvahs, as it were. Etc. And the calculation of mitzvahs. It's actually, if you want to make a particular note, it's actually on page 8 of the Marashah, and the Divrei Maskil Tariag. And over there, within that, the calculation of mitzvahs, the Marashah quotes our Gemara, and the Loshon, and focuses particularly on the Loshon, Nimnu V'gom. And also, Yosef Mishnivra. Our Gemara's Loshon is Nimnu V'gomru. They made a calculation, and they concluded. And they said, Merech L'Adam Shenivra, Yosef Mishnivra. So Loshon Yosef. Could you just say, Merech L'Adam Shenivra, Mishalo Nivra? So that's two aspects of the language that the Marashah focuses on. The Marashah says as follows, and again it's the context of the Gemara in Maccas, as I said, the calculations of the number of mitzvahs. The mitzvahs, of course, are split between the Asein and the Lavin. 365 Lavin, 248 Asein. Now, if we took a look at this in a simple mathematical calculation and ask ourselves, better have mankind been created or not? Let's say mankind had not been created. Without any question, they wouldn't have transgressed any of the Lavin. On the other hand, they wouldn't have fulfilled any Asein. You can't fulfill an Asein if you're not existing. Yeah, so you could argue, well, maybe it's better off not to be created because there's more Lavin than Asein. So there's more Lavin than Asein, so at least we don't transgress in the Lavin. On the other hand, you could argue, one second, but if you're not created, you can't do anything positive at all. So better be creative. At least you've got the opportunity of filling that in. And you. And this was the debate. Nimru v'gomrus is a marshal. They made a calculation. And they counted up how many asein, how many lavin are there. And of course the recognition is there are more lavin than there are asein. And therefore, on a simple mathematical calculation, the conclusion was better that mankind was not created. But now that it's created, we have of course been created to l'chvoid Hashem. Not l'chvoid Atzmo, we are created l'chvoid Hashem. And that's the lashon that it would have been better, Yoser would be more advantageous. I'm not actually sure if the Marshal actually means the lashon Yoser in a mathematical sense as well. But it said more advantageous had we not been created on a simple calculation. But Achshav Shenivra Yifash Vish for myself. And it's very medical lashon now. Now that we have been created, so we are more at risk of committing the lavin. So the only way, of course, is to protect ourselves from them and to justify our creation by being active. And that's where it says, Yifash Vish for myself. A person should analyze his actions and get on with it and move life forward and be proactive. Hence the conclusion, we must focus on the positive actions. Masha has more to say there over there, but this is the extract that is relevant to us.
You have this that you mentioned before, that Udom is 45, and you divide 45 by 2.5, you get to Chai, which is 18, so maybe the outcome is to allude to the fact that the man should actually live. That was the outcome of the 2.5 years.
Oh, very, very nice. Is it, that's your Chish?
That's it.
Oh, very nice, okay.
Can you say that again?
So, the gematria of Adam is 45.
Yeah.
Divide 45 by 2.5 is 18. And 18 is gematria of Chai. So therefore, life is justified. Okay, very interesting. Thank you very much. Okay.
2.5 years,
basically. 2.5 years. I came across a sefer once in Eretz Yisrael. I think it was called Shiurim by Agadas Chazal. I don't know if anyone's come across it. I don't have it, but I want to share some things there. Very interesting that he brings from a Rav Salant. I actually don't remember which Rav Salant it was, or even if he brought which Rav Salant it was. Very, very interesting. That actually, the Gemara says as follows. The analysis of the Gemara is as follows. If you look at the world and see that the world is a challenging place, and unfortunately there's a lot of tzaras in life, you could come to the conclusion. You could go to the conclusion that the pain overwhelms the pleasure. And that's the conclusion the person comes to. However, the Gemara says, don't think about it in those terms. Don't start thinking in those terms. That's not a productive way of thinking about life. We shouldn't even attempt the analysis of how to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways in this world. What should we do? Just get on with life. As one other writer puts, our challenge is not about the answer to life's challenges, but the response to life's challenges. An answer means that we calculate why this happens and why this happens to this person or that person. A response is, you know what, we don't understand why. That's not for us to understand. However, our response is, Achshav shenivru yifash vish myself, just to get on with life. So the machlokes between Beisel and Beisel, Beishamai was, can we understand life? Can we grapple with life? Actually, better not, because if we do, we might come to the conclusion that, you know what, the pain overwhelms the pleasure.
Yeah.
What should we do? Don't attempt to grapple with the answer. The answer is to make 2 and 2 make 4. The response is, even though we don't understand the answer, how are we supposed to interact with life? How are we supposed to respond to life? There, you have to myself, just move forward and just get on with it. Okay. I want to share with you Rabbi Yitzchak Kudner, Pachad Yitzchak, in Rosh Hashanah, in his Maimon Rosh Hashanah, Zion. Again, this is an extract that's relevant to us. Kedarkoi, can't claim to be an expert, but Kedarkoi Bekodesh, first of Pachad Yitzchak, takes us on some journey before we come back to this particular issue. And he quotes, and in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hei Halach Aleph, the Perek of Bechira. Reshus l'chol Adam l'suna imrotz alahatos atatzman aderach toiva liyot tzadik arushus biyodo. Every human being has free choice. If he wants to be a tzadik, he has the ability. Once he wants to be a Rasha, then he has the ability. There's nothing that compels a person's choice. And in Perek Gimel, he brings a phonic statement and the makar for this. This is an ikar gadol. This is a fundamental precept of Torah, which underpins everything. And the makar for this is Ra'ei Nasati Lefanecha Hayom Es HaChayim. I place before you today life. Says the Rambam that free choice equates to life. This is life itself. We know the difference between the animal kingdom and the human kingdom is that an animal is unable to really make a choice that is of moral significance. Mm-hmm. I often think that even after a three-day Yom Tov, most of us might turn down another piece of schnitzel. But offer it to your dog, and the dog's not going to say, you know what, I've had a three-day Yom Tov, so much schnitzel, I'm not going to turn it down. A dog is unable to make a choice, a meaningful choice, against its own real intuition. says the Rambam that free choice is life. That's what makes life meaningful. That's what makes life critical. Rav Yitzchak Huttner observes that when the Gemara captures our ability or our option for choice, it really has one of two ways, because there are two roots in Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's a root of Yira, and there's a root of Ava. And both of them are roots to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We aspire for Ava, but there's the root of Yira. But the Gemara in Brachas says, HaKol B'dei Shemayim, Butzim Yira Shemayim. It seems that when the Gemara captures our options for choice, it focuses more on Yira than it does on Ava. Why should that be? What's the particular link between Yira and Bechira, rather than Ava Bechira? Why do we focus on Yira more than Ava? Interestingly, I've written the notes that when we talk about Yira Shemayim, we talk about Yira, we talk about Yira Shemayim. We talk about Ava, we talk about Ava Hashem. We talk about Ava Shemayim, we talk about Ava Hashem. With Yira, we take a distance, we take a step back. We're always a little bit more distant when it comes to Yira. Yira Shemayim, whereas Ava Hashem. So what's the connection between Yira and Bechira? So, Rav Huttner says as follows. Let's think about the different motivations of Ava and Yira. A person is motivated by Ahava. He has a yearning, he has a desire for some item or some person or some aspect of life. Once that desire is satisfied, once that need is met, then it's satiated, it calms down. On the other hand, when it comes to Yira, let's imagine a person who, God forbid, is in serious danger. They're a fugitive of some sort. And they find relief. They find a situation which is safe. The emes is that they won't yet feel satisfied until they are utterly confident that the danger itself has been removed. The adversary has been removed. Either in a safe place, now they're in a safe haven. No. Kol's man, that danger could be lurking, could be hovering somewhere. They won't feel satisfied, they won't feel relaxed. Says Rav Huttner, the same is true with reference to Aveira. Imagine the following question. Imagine we could pose the question, would you like to live in a world where there is no sign of Lashon Hara? No sign of Lashon Hara? I'm not suggesting anybody here suffers from the sinness of Lashon Hara, but I know some people who do, but no sign of Lashon Hara. So in certain respects, our initial reaction would be, that would be amazing. That would be wonderful, there's such an Aveira. How many of our al-chaits are connected to speech? Wonderful. And yet, on the other hand, we think, wait a second. If there's no new sign of Lashon Hara, that would mean there's no opportunity of fulfilling the mitzvah of not speaking Lashon Hara. So that would be the simultaneous cancellation of Bechira. So we have an ambivalent relationship with Aveira. On the one hand, we'd like the danger to be removed completely. Halavai, the danger would be removed completely. Oh, that's Mamishira Shemayim. On the other hand, as soon as we say that, we think to ourselves, one second, if the danger is removed completely, so is the opportunity removed completely. And that would be the cancellation of Bechira. That would be the negation of what life is all about. So with reference to this, there's a certain tension, there's a certain dichotomy. As Rav Huttner puts it, desire to serve Hashem demands the presence of choice, But the emotion of Yiras Shamayim incorporates the yearning for removal of Avera. So we want the choice, and the saints want the removal of Avera. We want it, we want the choice. In fact, we are conflicted. But if we feel that conflict, says Apachad Yitzchak, then if we feel it's a conflict, and we fail to understand what life is all about. Because Be'etzem is not a conflict. You know what that's called? That's called life. That is called life. That very tension is what makes life meaningful. When they collide, then there is life. When on the one hand we feel a certain anxiety, within that anxiety is indicative of the fact that this is a moment of opportunity. That very collision is life itself. And he brings a story over there, doesn't say with reference to which god this was, but it's quite a well-known episode. A god who wanted one of his talmidim to take a position as a posek. And the Talmud turned around to the Rav and said, I don't want to take such a position. Why not? So he said, I'm scared of psak. I'm scared of psak. Making a psak and giving a psak. So the Gadol turned around and said to him, what should I do? Appoint somebody who's not scared of psak. Well, who is it? Chassam Sofer. He said, I'm not scared of psak. He said, I want you because I know you're scared of psak. Because on the one hand, it's an awesome responsibility. On the other hand, it's an incredible opportunity. It's because you're scared of psak that I know that you're the right person. Because you appreciate that that is what life is all about. It's because you're scared, because you feel that sense of awesome responsibility, that you understand the incredible opportunity. And the more we appreciate responsibility, the more we understand the opportunities. It's not a tension. On the contrary, that collision is life itself. The question is, and here Rav Hunna in one paragraph refers to our Gemara. And if I can unravel it, I understand him in the following terms. There's no question about it that life is a gift, and life is of value, and life is of utter importance. But the question is, what should motivate us predominantly? Focusing on the risk of life or the venture of life? Focusing more on the responsibility or the opportunity. That was the debate between them, according to Rav Hunna. That was the debate. Nochlal Adam Shalom Nivra is focusing on the risk of life. I mean, it's a scary business. On the other hand, Nochlal Adam Shalom Nivra is focusing on the opportunity of life. Nimnu v'gomru, they concluded that actually, unless we understand the risk, we'll never fully appreciate the venture. Unless we understand the responsibility, we'll never fully understand or appreciate the opportunity. And as Rav Hunna says, Ein oisher abechira nisgala el ala'acha ha'koros oso nabechira. That the richness or the happiness of bechira is not revealed unless we've understood the danger of life or the risk of life. Once it's fully appreciated, the responsibility, then we can absolutely embrace and celebrate the opportunity. And he brings that in fact the final words of Maisa Bereishis, Tov Ma'od, are a reference to Adam. And it's only in reference to Adam, in contrast to the animal kingdom, that we can say Tov Ma'od, because the animal kingdom takes no risks in life. Only we take risks in life. And it's only, and on the contrary, he sees that Tov Ma'od is mamish the hechsher for Adam, because for us, life is so meaningful, therefore life is such an incredible opportunity. If I may just conclude, I've got 30 seconds left, next week, or the week after, is the yahrzeit of my late shver, Mr. Fred Rosenberg, some of you may have known him. So when he was a nifter at the age of 60, so his late mother, Mrs. Rosenfeld, was still alive. And we, as her grandchildren, went to see her on the day of the Levaya, before the Levaya. Nebuch, she was in her 90s, and it was her son's Levaya. And we were a young couple. She was an incredible, incredible lady. And my late shver was an incredible man, only knew for 2 years. And the first thing she said to us, we came up to see her, this was before the Levaya. The first thing she said to us, your father was a doer. Be a doer. Your father was a doer, be a doer. Rather than focusing on her own grief, which must have been significant, she wanted to focus us on the opportunity that life gives. So, Mishra Shem, we should all be zeicha to Chaim Tovim and Chaim Aruchim, and to maximize the opportunity of the year ahead and that life brings.